bunch of different things in this amendment, and Hank called me yesterday, and I think he sort of had a moment of panic when he realized that our amendment documentation is like 2,000 pages long. And he was like, I think that's longer than Obamacare. So is anyone going to read this, and what is in this thing? But, you know, it's the list of actual, you know, different things it's trying to do is relatively brief, I guess. We've got, a bunch of existing EFH designations and area management, so that's all described. And then there's a bunch of action alternatives that are, do new or updated versions of that. So we updated all of our designations based on new data about where fish are and what their habitat needs are. There's a subset of EFH that's called habitat area of particular concern. And those are areas that for, whatever reason, there's a stock of major concern that's heavily concentrated in there, or there's a real concern about maybe non-fishing impacts, those kind of things. So there's, some special areas that have identified as a subset of EFH. And then sort of the measures that actually would restrict fishing operations are in bold. And so we've got some areas that were developed really to protect habitat types that are vulnerable to fishing. And in a lot of cases, these areas were developed specifically to encompass lots of juvenile brown fish. We also have areas that are, designed to protect spawning, in spawning seasons, and that's really for ground fish. And then we have a couple of different areas, three different areas that were designed to sort of focus research interests and research projects to answer sort of specific questions that, as we were developing this amendment, we realized sort of how much we don't know. And then also we've discussed sort of rethinking and updating the approach that the council takes to changing these measures in the future. Maybe setting up a process where at some regular interval the council sort of revisits all of this, having a process by which we review all the data. And then also, part of that is identifying those research needs and saying, well, it really would have been great to know a lot more about exact spawning condition in these different areas, throughout the season, or size structure within this area, or, those kind of things. And something we really, would love to know a lot more about is how does protecting habitat actually translate into increased productivity? And that's sort of the holy grail of habitat research, and it's something that we really don't understand nearly as well as we'd like. So that's kind of, those research areas are really designed to sort of focus interest on those kind of questions. And so where it kind of gets tricky is, well, I fish with a gill net, or I fish with a purse seine, or I fish with a bottom trawl. How do these areas affect me, and, would I be restricted, would I be allowed? But generally speaking, the areas that are designed for protecting vulnerable habitat would manage mobile bottom tending gears, because those are sort of estimated to be the most damaging to benthic structures, have the longest term impact. Recovery from those impacts takes a lot longer. So those are the gear types that if the goal is protecting the seabed and structured habitat, vulnerable structures, those are the gears that we manage. And on a year-round basis, generally. And the council's also talked about, in some cases, managing additional types of gears. For example, I'll show you in a few slides a figure, but there's an area in what we're calling the Eastern Main area that's, sort of would be actually not too far offshore from here. And in that area, there's a lot of concern for rebuilding groundfish. There hasn't been a groundfish fishery in there for quite a while, but there's been a lot of sort of onshore restoration of access to fresh water and rivers, and the thinking is that that's going to rebuild some of the prey base, should help the groundfish. So the idea was, well, maybe if really our focus is protecting the habitats there and the groundfish, a broader array of gears that catch groundfish should be regulated as well. So, all those things are sort of in the mix for the habitat areas. And then generally these seasonal or, some of the spawning areas or sort of year-round areas would manage gears that are catching groundfish. And so, that would include, some of these bottom gears, but also gill nets or long lines and those kind of things. So in terms of, yeah, I guess I just said that. Something that the, you know, council has gone back and forth on and is whether or not recreational gears would also be restricted from some of these areas. And so there's some alternatives in the document that would restrict recreational groundfish removals and then other options that wouldn't. So you know, the final decision sort of remains to be seen, but in some cases, there are concerns about removals of those animals in the recreational gear. Sort of nitty-gritty details on how these alternatives would work, and later I'll give you our website if you're interested, and you know, you can always, my contact information's on the website, and I'm happy to talk to people about what's in this document and where to find it.